Good morning. We're going to look today, and we're going to finish up a study of 1 Thessalonians. A few weeks ago, we started looking at 1 Thessalonians. This is considered probably Paul's first letter to Christians. And, you know, as we know, Paul was such an influence to the early church and wrote the majority of the New Testament. But this was a congregation that he had established on his second missionary journey. And he was wanting to check up on them. He had established this congregation and was just worried about them. He wasn't there with them, and he wanted to check up on them. And this is, now we know that centuries later, it was divided into chapter and verse and things like this. This was just originally written as a letter. But we're going to look at chapter 5 today. Verses 1 through 5 deals with the coming of the Lord. He had touched on this issue. We looked at that last week. In chapter 4, there was a lot of Christians that were worried. They heard that the Lord is going to return, and they had been concerned, what about brother so-and-so that has passed away? What about sister so-and-so that has died? What happens to them when the Lord returns if they're not still alive? Will they miss out on salvation? And last chapter, Paul assures them, when you're in Christ, they're not going to miss out on the glory of salvation. But he's talking here to them about the coming of the Lord, about how it affects you. And he talks about, he reminds them, I've made you aware. I've made you aware that the Lord is coming. And that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. This concept is talked about numerous times throughout the New Testament. Peter addresses almost the same thing, that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. You're not going to know. To be prepared for it. Don't let it sneak up on you. And you know, this concept of being prepared, Jesus dealt numerous times with this concept of the wedding feast and the bridesmaids with the oil in their lamps and so forth. This is not a brand new concept. But Paul is reminding them the Lord is going to return. You have to remember that. I've made you aware of this. And you're Christians. You're not of the darkness. You don't have to be scared of it. There's two things, two big questions we as Christians always have to ask, or we as people have to ask ourselves. One, are we in Christ? And that is a simple yes or no question that can be answered through the Scriptures. It's not something that we answer. It's something that the Scriptures answer. Are we in Christ? And the other question that we have to concern ourselves with, will we be found in Him on this day when Jesus returns? Those are the two big questions that every person has to be concerned with about themselves. And Paul is reminding them, you're Christians. You're in Him. You're not of the darkness. And that's one of the big separation points between us and the world. That are we identifiable as not being in the world? The world is going to have to be concerned about this. The return of Jesus, they have to be concerned and worried. You don't, Paul says, because you're Christians. Now, I tell you, I keep jumping back and forth in tents and so forth about the people in Thessalonica, but it's as much to us as it is. I keep kind of going back and forth what Paul's telling them. He's telling us. It is as applicable today in 2018 as it was in the first century. And Paul is telling them, you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be fearful of the returning of the Lord. And he goes on to say, but some are going to be surprised. There's going to be a big surprise to some. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be, that never thought that they would bend that knee, make that great confession. And their eyes are going to be opened. Jesus addresses this in Matthew 7. And we used this verse. In fact, Dick brought it up in our Bible class this morning. And I tell you, this is it's an eye-opening passage. It is a little bit of a scary passage. To just, not scary in the sense of just, you want to do what's right for God. You want to make sure our salvation is secure. Because just like people that Jesus was talking to, some thought they were. And they were surprised. And Paul is telling those in Thessalonica, some of them are going to be surprised. But some people came to Jesus and Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's going to be some shocked people. There's going to be some people that did a lot of religious, churchy things and hear the words, depart from me. I never knew you. But God, I showed up every day. I showed up every Sunday. I even showed up once in a while on Sunday night. Don't you remember that, God? I set up for potlucks. I cleaned the bathrooms once in a while. I was on a list. I don't remember the dates, but I was on a list that I cleaned the bathrooms. Nobody likes doing that. I went to church camp. I swept up once in a while, was on a streak there for a while of Wednesday night Bible class. Don't you remember those things, God? I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness, who live by it. Difference in sinning and living in sin. Verses 6 through 8. Paul is teaching the Christians there in Thessalonica, the Lord is coming. You know that. I've told you, prepare for it. Be prepared for it. Don't be unprepared. Watch. Don't sleep. Don't take it for granted. We don't know when it's going to be. It's been over 2,000 years. It could be another 2,000 years. Or it could be 20 minutes. It could be shorter than that. And for some people, the end comes before the coming of the Lord. Watch, don't sleep. And he says, put on God's armor. He will go into a more extensive example of this later on in his writings, one that we study quite a bit about putting on the full armor of God. But here, remember, this is the first letter, or the first recorded letter that we know of, that that Paul wrote to Christians. But he says, put on God's armor. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. You put that on to protect your vital organs. Have faith and love as covering you. And you put on, crowning everything else off, you put on the helmet of the hope of salvation, which you've got. You put it on. You've got it. Put it on. Wear it. Use it. Don't leave it on the shelf. Because we're in a battle every day. Every day. The devil would love for us to take it for granted. Oh, the Lord's coming a long time off. Sit back, relax. It's been 2,000 years. You don't think he's going to come anytime soon, do you? Sit back, relax. What are you wearing this stuff around? It's heavy. It's uncomfortable. Cast it off. We're going to be hearing a sermon, hopefully, if you don't come before it. Got a sermon planned, the devil's tactics. That's down the road. If we're still here, we may not be here. I may not be here. Verses 9 through 11. Paul reminds them that we have salvation through Jesus. Through Jesus. Not anybody else. Not him or anybody else. He reminds them that he died for us. That's the center message of the Bible. Of the Bible. You know, John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world. He loved it so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was the purpose, was to save. He was the sacrifice that we could not come up with. And Paul's reminding them, we have salvation through Jesus, not anybody else. And to comfort and remind each other of that. The Christians at this time were suffering persecution. We looked at that in some of the earlier chapters. They were suffering some persecution, and some of them have died because of it. And he wanted them, you, not only me, but you comfort each other also. You see each other more than I get to see you. You comfort each other and remind each other of that fact. And remind them that there's salvation through nobody else. This concept is talked about in Acts 4:12. It says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We're not going to be saved by mom and dad, although they might pass on the knowledge of salvation to us. But, you know, we can't rely on mom and dad to save us. We can't rely on the words of the preacher. The words of the preacher might give us the knowledge of salvation, the plan of salvation through the Bible. But that guy ain't going to do it. It's Jesus. The center message of the entire Bible. There's no other person that can bring us salvation. Verses 12 through 22 are some various teachings and reminders. One is to acknowledge and respect those leaders and teachers and workers that help you. They're not doing it for the pat on the back. If they are, they're like the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus so often condemned. But you know what? There are people working amongst you in Thessalonica that care for you. That present the Word of God to you. Acknowledge them. They're not doing it for that pat on the back. But acknowledge those people that are giving their lives for you. And you go on and help others. It doesn't end with you. You help others. You comfort them. There are some people right now that need comfort in Thessalonica. There are some people that need comfort in these four walls. I ask that you keep Letta's grandson in your prayers. He was just taken away in an ambulance a while ago. A young man that needs medication, that hasn't been taking it. And it greatly affects his emotional and mental state. And the medic, he needs his medication. I ask that you pray for him. Comfort. Teach each other. What good. Christianity is one of those things. It doesn't benefit you if you hold on to it. It doesn't benefit you if you hoard it. Okay? You got to be able to get rid of it. What good is this? What good is this salvation? We need to share it. And he's telling them that. Admonish each other. Encourage one another. Rejoice and pray. But God, we're suffering some persecution right now. Paul, don't you realize some of us have been arrested? Rejoice and pray. What can man do to me? What's the worst that could happen? They could kill you? We've got salvation. We're here, and I tell you, it's kind of unique and odd. It's kind of a dichotomy here. The longer I live, the more I realize the shorter we're here. Some of you young ones, he's finally lost it. He's finally unraveling up there. You know, I've tied as many knots as I can, it's still unraveling. But many of you get it. The longer we live, the more we realize we're here for a short time. And the worldly, what used to seem like was so important, is not as important as it used to be. And Paul is telling the Christians there in Thessalonica, rejoice and pray. And he tells them to stay strong and to abstain from sin. Abstain from sin. That is a message to all Christians in all walks of life to stay strong, to remain in Him. They have gotten, they were in Christ. They have been baptized, covered by His blood. Remain in Him. Be found in Him. Stay strong and abstain from sin. And then we have Paul's closing. And he's telling them, may God sanctify you. sanctify, to set apart. To set you apart for a holy purpose. A lot of things are set apart. People that are fruit sorters, the bruised and the squished apples, you set them, you're not sanctifying, you're setting them apart. You're not sanctifying them. Sanctify is to set apart for a holy use, to be for holy purposes. And Paul is saying, may God sanctify you. And he will do it. He's reminding them, he will do it. Please pray for us. The encouragement that he gets to know how they're doing is important. But he says, pray for us. Isn't that strange that the great, mighty Paul, I need some prayers. I need you to pray for me. Greet the brethren for us and share this with them. Pass it on. And grace be to you. That's how he ends it. What I'd like to do is, now that the lesson is yours, I'd like to read. I'd like for us to turn, and I'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would like to follow along. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you should have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. A wonderful study that we've conducted here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I hope it has been a blessing to you as much as it has been for me preparing it. God loves us. He wants the best for us. Jesus died for us. But to access that sacrifice, you need to be baptized. Because that's where we come into contact with the blood of Christ. If you have not been baptized, we always like to offer an invitation. The invitation is open 24 hours a day. Dolores did not come last Sunday at the end of worship. Tanya called me Monday evening. Mom wants to be baptized. Let's do it. Don't get her on a list. Well, we do baptisms on the fifth Sunday of the quarter. We don't do that. Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. If you're not baptized, we urge you to do so. If you have sin in your life that is separating you from God, I urge you to repent. The words of God urges you to repent. Change. Turn away from that. If you need prayers of the congregation, Paul asked for prayers of the congregation. If you need prayers of the congregation, let your brothers and sisters go to God for you on your behalf. If you live in Las Vegas and are looking for a church home, that if you've been looking for a congregation of the Lord's body that you want to identify with, work with, choose us. As you can see, we're not a very big group. We can use you, and we will put you to work. We would encourage you to work and to worship with us. Whatever your need, if you would come forward as Curtis leads us in the invitation song, let us all stand and sing.